The first scripture lesson was a New Testament reading from Corinthians, Paul describing how he strives to be all things to all people, seeing to be flexible in his life and in his ministry, that all may see through him a glimpse of Christ's love. The gospel lesson comes from Mark chapter 1, and these are a continuation of verses that we heard part of last week. A story of Jesus spending time in the city of Capernaum. And so listen to Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told Jesus about her at once, and Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening, at sundown, they brought to Jesus all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up, and he went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him, and when they found Jesus, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And Jesus went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the gospel in their synagogues and casting out demons. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving God, draw near to us once more. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What are the rituals that you do when you come home? What are the things you do when you open your door and you cross the threshold into your house or your apartment? Do you put your keys somewhere so you can find them again? Do you hang up your coat? Do you change your shoes? Do you check to see if there are any messages on the phone answering machine? Do you pet a cat or dog if you have one? See, all of us have rituals associated with coming home. For me, when I come home after work, I put down my things and I change out of my church clothes into something more comfortable. And once I do that, actually my brain shifts. And I know that I'm home. And I can leave behind work and focus on what's important with my family and where we live. Doorways are actually very important. That's why there's the Jewish tradition of placing a small reminder of faith on the right-hand side of doorways. You might have seen them around at different places. They're usually small plaques or containers called a mezuzah, which in Hebrew just means doorpost. Now, a mezuzah is designed to contain a small rolled up piece of parchment. And on the parchment is written the very important verses from Deuteronomy 6, the passage we call the Shema, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might." So a mezuzah reminds people of this covenant with God and how when they cross over the threshold going out into the world, they go out as ones who trust in the Lord. And when they return home and cross over that threshold again, it reminds them that they remain under the care and the loving protection of the God who made them. Now, the Jewish tradition is then to touch the mezuzah, to remember that covenant, both in the going out and in the coming home. We all have rituals that we go through when we come home. However, It must also be said that sometimes work follows us home. Sometimes the stress or the problems of the world don't stay outside the threshold, but they follow us inside. And in fact, for some people, sometimes the problems waiting at home are worse than what was being dealt with outside the walls. For some people who live alone, to come home means to step into an isolation that is frustrating and depressing. Some people come home to relationships that are broken or abusive. Some step over thresholds into places that are marked as a dominant reality with illness. So in the story we heard from Mark's Gospel, Jesus taught in the synagogue of Capernaum, and then he went to the home of Simon Peter. Now, Peter was married. That's a detail that some parts of the church keep forgetting. As Jesus and disciples, as this group, crossed the threshold of Peter's house, the pressing reality that faced them was one of sickness. Peter's mother-in-law was ill and in bed. So in the gospel story, Jesus goes to her. He takes her by the hand and he helps her up. And by God's grace and by her trust of Christ and reception of his strength, she's miraculously healed. And then she, along with others in the household, could then move about to show hospitality to their guests. Now, as the story progresses, when the sun sets, that marked the end of the Sabbath, which meant that people could now move about freely once more. And many people in that town chose to bring to Jesus their loved ones who were ill or who were possessed, somehow wounded in body or spirit. So again, the threshold of Peter's house has to be crossed, this time by Jesus. Inside Peter's house, hopefully Jesus had felt at home. Hopefully he'd felt at ease as he was having maybe one-on-one conversations, healing Peter's mother-in-law, talking with his disciples, sharing a meal with those with whom he was close. But when the sun set, Jesus now had to step out the door, and there too he had to offer healing to those that sought him out, listened to those with burdens on their hearts. And to all of them he offered the bread of life to cure their woundedness and their isolation, lifting that with a miraculous cure. Now, all of those healings are important. But what's more important was the fact that the illnesses present outside the doorway in that crowd basically barred all of those people from being full members of the larger community. Those illnesses and possessions set them apart as cursed, broken, damaged goods, and outsiders. By Jesus' touch and by his mercy, he could change all that. He made it possible for them to step over a figurative threshold and now re-engage with their community. So even though Jesus was at work outside a literal house, he was welcoming them home at last. Inside your worship bulletins, there's a picture, an image from a painting by our wonderful Italian artist named Caravaggio. It's a depiction of two pilgrims, an older man and a woman, who have traveled to a shrine and there are given a vision of Mary holding the infant Jesus. Now, Caravaggio was a groundbreaking artist. He moved beyond the old habits of only offering very formal portrayals of the Holy Family or the saints of the church. For him, he wanted to show people much more realistically and honestly. And in fact, this painting was criticized because of the dirty feet and the soiled clothing worn by the pilgrims. Mary and Jesus appear to have stepped out of the privacy of a home and now are graciously engaging with two people who are seeking their favor at the very threshold. And that's why I love this picture. There was clearly life happening inside the walls of the house, And there was real life, probably not as glamorous or as tidy or as expected, happening outside the threshold. And Jesus is positioned in both places. He's at home, but he also has an arm and a gaze extended to those who are standing before him, anxious as ever to be at work in the world. Now, Mark chapter 1 describes how the adult Jesus, as he began his ministry, went to the city of Capernaum. And he spoke first in the synagogue, openly, honestly, with an authority that surprised people who knew him as a humble carpenter's son. And all that's captured in verses 21 to 28, which was our focus last week, and which Pastor Heather spoke well of in her own sermon, when she reminded us that we too are to speak with authority, that we too are to dismantle systems of oppression and step out into the world, calling it as we see it, as people of faith and as followers of Christ. Now, what the next set of verses, though, 29 to 39, teach us is that the place for our faithful words and our faithful actions will always be a mixture of private and public settings. Jesus taught publicly in the synagogue. Then he went to a private home and healed Peter's mother-in-law. At sunset, he stepped outside the home and healed the people gathered at the threshold. In the early morning hours, he went to a private place to pray, to recharge his batteries, to remember the core words of his faith, the Shema. Our God is one God whom we should worship with all of our heart, soul, and might. And yet even there in that private place, the public realm invaded. The disciples found him, interrupted him, and in response he ends up saying, well, let us go into the neighboring towns. Let us proclaim to them as well that the kingdom of God is in their midst. So I want you to think of it this way. The house of Christian faith has a door that you can enter. You can turn the key and find in that space a welcome, a sense of peace. For you enter and you are not judged. You are safe and at home. And it is there that you put down your keys of control. And it is there you set down the baggage of whatever form you've been carrying and with which you are heavy laden. It is there you can think and read and remember, our God is our Lord whom we love with our hearts and souls and might. But every door has two sides to it. Every door straddles a threshold. And so we step out over that threshold to engage with the world around us. And we notice others who come to our threshold. And sometimes they come to us bearing gifts and smiles. Sometimes they come to us bearing needs and pain and sorrow. The space outside the doorway may be crowded and untidy and imperfect. But there too we are close to God, who is the Lord, whom we love with our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And that's why I love Caravaggio's image. Piety and personal faith are important. Private faith is how we learn to listen with our heart to the assurance from God that we are known, we are loved, and that we matter. Private faith gives us the strength to stand up when a cancer diagnosis or a lost job would knock us down. Private faith gives us strength to fight back when an indifferent world would walk past us with unseeing eyes, or a racist, hurting world would beat us down out of its own fears and woundedness. But private faith always exists in tandem with public faith, public witness. Because we are loved by God, we step over that threshold into God's world. Because we are known, we move to know others, to see them with open eyes and open hearts, to hear their stories, to hold their hands. Because our names have been called, we step out and are bold to say other people's names, sometimes voicing the concerns through the slogans of the day. Hashtag Me Too. Hashtag Time's Up. Black Lives Matter. Immigration reform now. We know that the poor and the wounded of the world will always be with us, but we know that we all are moving toward a horizon of God's promise and grace and mercy, and we only reach that horizon by helping those in trouble along the way so that we can reach it together. The two-sided door of faith is an important metaphor for us. Private faith without public witness is just hollow piety. Public witness without private faith is just superficial activism. And that's why we have to hold on to the good news. We always meet Christ at the thresholds. Whether coming or going, Christ is there. As we open a door, we step into a space that hopefully is welcoming and peaceful and safe. Or it may be a place that is empty and troubled and unsettling. But in that place, Christ is Lord. Christ is the one calling us by name, taking us by the hand, lifting us up, and then Himself serving as the host at our tables. And then other times we step over the thresholds into places of work and service and laughter, or into crowds of wounded, anxious, hurting people. But there too, Christ is Lord, the Son of the Most High, whom we love with our hearts and our souls and our might. The one who says, let us go into the other villages, into the world together, that we might proclaim the gospel there also. Consider well the doors of your life. In all your comings and goings, in your private faith and your public witness, abide with Christ, go with Christ, and be at peace. Amen. For this world and for this day, we affirm what we believe. I invite you to stand as you're able and join us in sharing together the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in the bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.